All right. Boy, boy, I am not in the mood for this right now, but I'm going to do it anyway. 3, 2, 1. And welcome to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Thank you for clicking on and listening to what we've got to talk about here for the next, we'll have a little shorter show today due to some technical difficulties. Namely, and this is the charm of an Elton Jim, because I don't have any secrets from you folks. So we start recording the show about 20 minutes ago, and I'm looking and I'm sort of rambling, as you know I have a tendency to do, and so I turn to look at the at the clock, just to make sure where am I at, because I've got a few other segments or a few things I want to talk about. And I look, and the counter on the recorder is at zero. See, I have one, besides babbling, I have one job to do in here. And the funny thing is that my producer, it's Lisa, right? Lisa, you spell it in a weird way, though, right? You can talk if you want. Well, okay, yeah. But you it is Lisa, but you spell it like with a Z and a Y and a X. Some weird thing. I don't know. When the song ends, she can hop on and explain her crazy spelling. But so Lisa was actually in here, because she probably knows, and everybody at the station, they all probably tell all the producers, okay, when he's in there, he acts like he knows what he's doing, but just keep your eye on his shoulder and make sure he does what he's supposed to do. And I'm like, oh, hey, no, I'll hit the button. So, yeah, so how do you spell your name? Yeah, okay.
Am I there? Hello? Yeah,
you're
there.
Oh, there
I am.
There you are.
So I actually spell my name L-I-S-E.
But it's Lisa.
It's Lise.
Oh, it's Lise.
Yeah, but it's Lisa also, you know.
So what do you go by?
I go by both. Here I go by Lise because it's just too confusing to explain.
So like Lisa, you're like, but so it's like if I wanted to lease.
To avoid situations like
I
this.
Sell, I sign a lease.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I would think with the E at the end, it's Lisa, like Lisa.
It's Lise.
Lise.
The French, yes.
Oh, so this is not some funky name that you just made up.
No, this is my parents being like, let's make life really difficult
for
our child.
So how should it be pronounced correctly by the people that wanted you to be called this?
By my parents?
Yes.
They call me Lise and Lisa.
But Lee, so what did you say, Lise?
Lise is like the French pronunciation.
Lise.
And then like Norwegian, which is my background, is Lisa. Is
see, I thought the E would give you the
Yeah. So you're on.
That's okay.
Yeah, just call me whatever.
Okay.
Call me the producer.
Well, no, that, I mean, that's pretty sad. So anyway, the producer. No, so I look over there and it's on 00. So I just get through this big long description of something, which I'm now going to have to repeat because I want to tell you about it. So now I feel dirty because now it feels I'm going to try to think up of new stuff because I don't want to regurgitate or give you like a take two. You know, I'm not making a movie here. The whole idea of this is the live spontaneous. So when you're listening to this, please know that I'm trying to be as spontaneous as I can, given the fact that I've already just talked about this for like 15 minutes. Well, that's the charm of an Elton Jim. I mean, anybody could just be like, you know, professional. That's boring. I'm trying to give you something that you can't get anywhere else. Behind the scenes stuff. Lisa. See, I mean, who spends more than 40 seconds talking about a goofy spelling of a name? No, I'm just joking. You know that. I've actually worked with Lisa. There's like seven pronunciations. I've worked with her before. We had a really good time. We'd filling in on the radio. So, but this is too funny because she was literally in here, and I know she wanted to hit the start button, and I said, "No, I'll hit it." You know, I'm running the board here. I mean, oh, gosh. Anyway, okay. So I'm going to pretend like I just thought of this. You know, I was going to talk about something, but before I do, I want to talk about this. Well, let me just tell you. So, yes, as I said, well, you didn't hear me say it. So now I'm saying it for the first time. What I do hope to do on this show on a weekly basis is to certainly entertain you and make you laugh, but also make you think, but also just pass along some everyday little helpful hints. And my helpful hint for today is, I don't know about you, but I really do like air freshener. I really like air freshener to the point where when I go to the store, I buy like 15 cans of it. I like to always have air freshener. I like when someone walks into your house, I like them to be hit with a burst of a scent. I burn candles that have really strong aroma because I like them to fill the house. I don't mind the light. The light's cool too. But I really want my candle to have a strong aroma. And I'll leave a candle on 15 hours a day or something if it's really a good smell. I really like to just smell, get the house cooking with a nice smell. But in absence of the candle, I do like to use air freshener a lot, especially when company's coming over, because I would like people to walk in, as I said, get immediately, confronted by a nice smell to go, oh. And I actually like when people walk in and go, oh, wow, what's that smell? Now, some people don't. Then I wonder to myself, now have I sprayed enough? And it's like cologne. I think air freshener is like cologne or like, perfume. There is a fine line between too much perfume, too much cologne, and too much air freshener. Because you don't want it to smell like one of those, frou-frou potpourri card shops either when you walk in your house. But you want it to be subtle yet distinguished. That's the way I would put it. Which is, I would think, if you're wearing perfume. I mean, I wear cologne, and I am sometimes afraid, oh, geez, am I spraying too much or too little? But at the same time, if you don't spray enough, then there is, I mean, I remember, I do smell people's perfume and their cologne. And I many times will ask somebody, oh, wow, what are you wearing? So I don't even have that of good a sense of smell. So, which might be a reason why sometimes I put on too much cologne, because I can't smell it. Everybody else goes, whoa, hi-yo, slow down. But, I went to the store, and I usually buy, I'll just tell you, I'm not getting any kind of promotional plugs for this. No money is changing hands. This is just something out of my personal life, which I like to pass on. So, I buy Glade, because I like the smell, and it's not too expensive because I do buy a lot. And some of these air fresheners cost $2 to $3 a can. But I like to buy like 10 or 15 at a shot. So I'm not going to spend $50 on air freshener. So yeah, maybe Glade isn't the high, the high end thing, but it does the job and it's not crazily expensive. So I usually get, I know one is called Pure Linen. And another one is Dark Blue, and I don't know what that color or what that name is. I just go by the colors a lot. So I went to my favorite store to buy my favorite Glade, and one of my favorite flavors or scents was out. So I'm in a conundrum. I'm in a problem here because I need my cans, and I just don't want one smell because that gets boring for everybody. So I'm looking at what they have, and I notice this one called Cashmere Woods. So just the name is kind of intriguing and mysterious, and I don't know what it's going to smell like. And I think, it's okay, just like if you grab a grape at the grocery store to see if they're fresh. I think it's okay to give, a new the scent that you're going to buy a little pump just to give it a quick little smell. So I smell the Cashmere Woods, and I'm like, wow, that smells really good. I really couldn't put it into words, but I know that there was a little hint of vanilla, but it did smell kind of woodsy. And I'm like, well, it's not bad, especially for this time of the year with the holidays coming up between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And there's the pine smell from the trees and all that stuff. So Cashmere Woods might be okay for the fall. And I hope to God now that it's one of my favorite flavors or favorite scents, that it's not just a fall scent. Because I'm in love with Cashmere Woods. Now, don't be confused. Cashmere Woods is not Tiger Woods' cousin, just so you know that. is not Tiger Woods' cousin. This is my cousin Cashmere. Cashmere Woods. Oh, hi, Tiger. No. So anyway, I get home, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to test out my – I buy one can because I don't want to, you know, get too invested in Cashmere Woods if I don't like it on a grand scale. I just get a little, you know, one little sniffer pump in the store. I bring it home, and I spray it liberally around the house, by the front door, by the back door, because I said you never know when someone's going to come in, which door, in the – living room, in the dining room, halfway up the stairs or so. And I am digging Cashmere Woods, like, a lot. To the point now where I bought that one can that one week. When I ran out, I bought 7 cans of Cashmere Wood out of the 15. 7 were Cashmere Woods. That's how much I like it. So between my Cashmere Woods and then I've got a scent ring for my Christmas tree, which is kind of like a, I don't know, some kind of a clay that's fired, and you put a little scent, little liquid scent on it, and you stick it inside the tree as you put it, the poles together for your artificial tree, and it makes it smell like pine, and it really does have a nice little scent to it. So between my scent ring for my Christmas tree and my Cashmere Woods as my air freshener, I mean, it's going to feel like I'm out in the woods. I mean, I'm even afraid now that there might be a bear showing up in my living room. I mean, I've already had raccoons in my garage the last few months on and off. Now I'm afraid I might be inviting them into the house. They're going to be sitting right on the couch. You see that commercial with those talking raccoons about the garbage, which I think is a pretty funny commercial. But, yeah, I mean, that's how inviting and woodsy, Cashmere woodsy, if you will, my home is going to be, between my pine-scented scent ring in my artificial tree and my Cashmere Woods air freshener. Now, you notice there are no real smells happening at all in my home. I am pro-artificial smells. So, anyway, once again, I'm not getting any pay for this at all. I'm just passing on a tip. If you're looking for a new scent, Glade Cashmere Woods. Little hint of vanilla. I'm not sure what else. There is some woodsy smell in there that really, you go, ooh, what's that? That's the key. If you have a cologne, a perfume, or an air freshener, I think what you're going for is not just for your own enjoyment, but obviously for others, because that's sort of why it's there too. The key reaction that you always want to get is, what's that? And you know exactly what they're talking about. It's the scent. Cashmere Woods. Check it out by Glade. Anyway, now I'm looking at the counter, and now I see it moving, which is good. So, unfortunately, we will have to, usually the show is an hour, but we'll probably have to only do 45 minutes because we've got to get rid of the studio for a while. And as I said earlier, I forgot to hit the play button. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. And just so you know, you have no way of knowing because it's not recorded anywhere. But I think, and I'm going to ask Liz. I don't know if you're listening. I don't know what she's doing in there. Her head is down. She's looking at her phone. I don't know if she's doing a Sudoku, whatever the hell that's called. But did you listen to the official show now?
The Glade rant.
Yeah, well, it's not a rant. A rant is bad. This is a Glade tip. Yeah, I don't know. It's not a rant. What is it? Is the Glade suggestion.
Yes, I did.
I actually am pleased with take two.
I think take two was better.
Do you?
You had an opportunity to practice.
Yeah. It sounded a little smoother, and I threw some other stuff in, which I didn't the last time, although I did repeat some things because some of that stuff was completely off my head, but I liked it.
And, you know, I just walked into the studio to make sure that you were recording, and I can smell Cashmere Woods.
I told you, it's fantastic. Cashmere Woods, I'm telling you. As far as I know, there's at least two people listen to the podcast. Aside from that, I don't know. It's me and whoever is producing. So today, Liza.
I can be like seven people.
She's like very schizophrenic back there. But at least I know two people are listening. Now, whether anyone will ever click on, I don't even know if you do or not. But at least two people are. So I know I use Cashmere Woods. I guarantee you, when you go to the store, at the very least, you're going to look for Cashmere Woods and at least spray it and go, oh,
ah.
I see. Ah, what is that? I see what he's talking about. So very quickly, because I do want to talk to Emily Arminetti and the Pop Culture Club, because there was something really interesting where, once again, I don't want to get overly political on the podcast, but how could you not in the last two or three weeks? I mean, politics has been the story of the year. As I've said many times, 2016 was looking as if it was going to be kind of a blah year. What was there really before election night that was that interesting? We had a lot of deaths.
Cubs.
I'm going to say before the Cubs, before November. It all happened in 1 week.
It's true.
Within 1 week, we had the Cubs World Series and Trump. Two things that no one in their wildest dreams ever thought could happen. Two things, historic things, happened within 7 days that haven't happened in 108 years and up to this point, 240 years in terms of a president being elected who has never held any office. Not dog catcher, not librarian, not anything. He went right from zero to most powerful man in the world. No hurdles in between. But before the Cubs and before Donald Trump, it was kind of like who died was going to, give 2016 its personality. It was David Bowie. It was Glenn Frey, Muhammad Ali. And then recently now Leonard Cohen and Leon Russell just passed away.
Prince.
Yeah, I forgot about Prince. I mean, so it was really about celebrity deaths, which is kind of a bummer. But I don't know if the Trump thing doesn't eclipse those too, depending on your politics. The Cubs World Series, obviously, off the charts. And so speaking of that, even though I was going to talk about something else before that, but since I'm talking about the Cubs, what I love about this show is there's no steering wheel. I've just got a brake and a pedal. I have no steering wheel. I have no idea where it's going. I just know it's moving forward and stops at times. But I have no idea which direction it's going. But once again, I'm always prepared. So talking about the Cubs, I have been most interested in, and I have been collecting, as you can hear, through my newspaper. Yes, I'm one of the few people that still get a newspaper delivered to their home. I don't know how it's going to be in your house. I'm not sure how big of a Cub fan you are, or do you know someone who is a lifelong Cub fan or a diehard Cub fan? But oh my gosh, is there going to be a lot of, and it depends on your taste, either very cool or very schlocky Cubs merchandise under a lot of people's trees this year? Oh my gosh. For instance, will you be buying for yourself or a loved one the Chicago Cubs 2016 World Series Champion Express train set that has Chicago Cubs, on the engine, and then pictures of the World Series win as they're all jumping on one another on one of the cars, along with a facsimile of the World Series trophy on one of the cars? Shipment 4 has the Anthony Rizzo boxcar. Many future cars included in the train collection will feature your favorite Cubs players. Please pre-order my Chicago Cubs World Series Champions Express, beginning with the diesel locomotive, which lights up. Nice. Nice.
I'm tempted to get one of these.
Well,
for like under the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. I always put a tree. In fact, the WGN studio, the Showcase studio downstairs, for the last 5 or 6 years is now being decorated with Christmas stuff by Tree Time, who is our sponsor of the station, and who I buy my trees from and have even before I ever worked and was associated with WGN. But when Back when I used to work in that studio every day, I used to bring my train from a train because I have a couple of train sets. And so I would bring my train and I would, I mean, it didn't work because you have to plug it in. I mean, obviously it's a radio station. You don't want to hear a train continually running behind a tree. But from the look, just for the aesthetics, I would bring my train in and set it up under the tree in the showcase studio just so the tree would have a little homey kind of, you know, Christmassy look to it, even though those trees are beautifully decorated. But a tree on, a train under the tree, for whatever reason, makes it. And so if you're a Cub fan, now see, once again, you know, I was going to sort of make fun of this, but now Lisa Lou, she's like, I'm tempted to get one. So now I'm kind of, geez, maybe this stuff is actually cool. Now are you willing to spend? Yeah, it's always the fine print on this. How much is this? Oh, it says it's a. Oh, they sell it in four shipments. So first you get the locomotive shipment one, then you get shipment two. So one says Chicago, the second one says Chicago Cubs, third one has the little trophy on it, and the fourth one then will have one of your favorite players. So they are three easy payments of $26.99 apiece. So we're talking about $75 to $100 for your Cubs tree.
For four cars,
$25 a car.
Come on.
Well, I'm just telling you. Oh, you don't like that? Well, then would you like the Chicago Cubs bracelet filled with Chicago Cubs charms? One of the charms, of course, has the world champion insignia. One has a Cubs pennant. One says a heart that says Cub fan. One is a ball with the Cubs logo in it. Two other ones are just regular round things with the Cubs thing on it. One says Chicago Cubs with the Cubs with the actual bear on it. One is gold that says Chicago Cubs.
How much is that? Because
okay,
my mom would be.
Oh, really? See, once again, I was going to make fun of this, but now I can't. Clearly, there's people going, "What are you talking about, Jim?"
Because she wears a different Cubs necklace like every day.
Okay, so she's a scary fan. Anyway, this is. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So save the search for the individual charms. They'll put together the perfect way. You get the complete with a jewelry pouch, gift box, and certificate of authenticity. This charming, in quotes, bracelet is remarkably valued at $119, payable in four monthly installments. That's $29.75 each. So $119 for the Cubs bracelet. Are you ready to go for that? Are you ready to throw out $119 for mom?
No.
Ooh, ouch. Well, poor mom.
Is it?
Well, I don't blame her. Look at the name she gave you. Liz, Sterling? Lisa.
Sterling silver? Is it like all?
It is embellished. It's embellished with genuine Swarovski crystal.
Wow.
And plated with sterling silver and 18 karat gold. I don't know. What's 18 karat? Does that even count?
I don't know.
How many karat? I don't know. Anyway, so there's one. That's 100. You get the car. Now, if that's for the girl or the gal of your life, although I should talk because I wear a charm bracelet. This is a troll beads. I have troll beads.
Like the movie Trolls?
No. These are beads. They're called troll beads. They're sort of like those Pandora beads. These are called troll beads, and the reason I have these is because this specific bead, I have three beads on my troll beads bracelet. And the reason that I have that is because this specific bead is called Elton. It's the Elton bead.
Wow.
So there you go. I live the name. So if the charm bracelet, so you got your train for your kids, your charm bracelet for mom. So, hey, don't leave dad out of this. Would you want to get dad the dramatic Chicago Cubs watch? Commemorative watch that has the Cubs logo, blue pinstripes on the face, and one big outer watch clock with three smaller to show sub dials is what we call them in the watch business, apparently. Three chronograph sub dials, a stopwatch function, a date window, And what else? Precision. They got the clasp bracelet. They love bracelets over there. And there's etchings on the side and the back. It comes in a nice box. It comes in a deluxe wood case with engraved commemorative plaque. And how much is... Oh, wow. Okay. Looks like you have to spend a little more for dad than you did for mom or the kids. The commemorative Cubs watch, $249. But you are getting, you know, four watches in one. So four into $250. You know, once again, maybe it's cheap. But Bradford Exchange is certainly... Now, here's something for the whole family. Finally. Kids, mom, dad. Maybe you just want to say, here's something that we can all enjoy. Once again, you got to love that Bradford Exchange. I got these like within, you know, before, you know, the ball got hit to Bryant. And before he threw it to Rizzo for the last out, I got these in the mail. I don't know how they did it. They were ready with these. So now here is, this could be the one that Liza gets for her family. Because it sounds like you're a Cub fan too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe this is what you want for everyone to enjoy. You have brothers and sisters?
Yep.
Okay. Are they all Cub fans?
Yeah, my brother's a big Cubs fan.
Okay. Well, maybe this is what you want. This is the limited edition commemorative World Series trophy.
How big?
Oh, my goodness. It is. It looks pretty big.
But that's how they get you. They send you like a 5-inch
tall. Yeah, this thing, I don't know. This thing could, to your point, it could be as big as a thimble.
All or, about perspective.
Yeah, because we have no, yeah, there's nothing next to it to show. There's not, like sitting next to it is not a cow or an orange. Or a ping pong ball. So I don't know how big this is. That's a really good point. I'm surprised they don't tell you. Does it say it's... there's only 10,000 of these being made, too. So be careful. This one is... Ooh. Act now. Okay, hey, not bad. $100. $100. It's got, you know, if you ever see the World Series trophy, it's got a bunch of baseball pennants on long sticks. It's really not a great trophy, to be honest with you. Hockey still has the best one. There's no doubt about that. They're trying to make the Stanley Cup has taken on such a big, image in the last 10 or 15 years, especially the players take it around everywhere. They go to bars, they fill it up, they drink out of it. And now that, you know, everybody gets a day with it, and they've made such a big deal about that recently in the last 10 or 15 years, that now that's become the cool thing, is like to walk around and take your trophy when you go on Ellen. And, but the World Series trophy is not that big. And so they're walking, you know, they got these big players and they're holding it over their heads. It's like they could hold it on their finger. It's not that big. The Stanley Cup has some heft to it. I've seen it. I've stood next to it. I've taken a picture with the damn thing. This thing, I've seen the Cubs go on some TV shows and hold it over their heads. And it's like, it weighs less than your mitt. So this is no great, you know, feet that you're carrying it over your head. I think all the other sports, and football too, the Vince Lombardi trophy is not very impressive. It's just a small little thing with a football on it, but it's not big. It's not heavy. I guarantee you in the next 5 years, all the major sports are going to make new, bigger, gaudier, heavier trophies so that theirs can compete with the Stanley Cup, even though the Stanley Cup is classic because it was organic. It didn't start out being or trying to be some big, cool thing. It started out as a little cup. And then they just started building and adding to it because every band on that has the name of the winning team. And so they just added to it as they went on. And then they take those bands off after five or six, and those bands go into the Hall of Fame, and then a new band with the new team. So it's always a living cup, if you will. But, yeah, that thing started out as just a commode. And from what I've heard, it's been used as a commode for some teams, believe me. But anyway, $100 will get you another Cub thing. So here I was ready to, I said schlocky, but apparently in the Liz's home, this could be the, you know, genuine gift. I don't know about you, but check out the Bradford Exchange because there's a lot of Cub stuff out there. And so you never know. just what or who might be getting you a Cubs item. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGN Plus. Emily Arminetti, Pop Culture Club, issue one. Are you there?
I am here.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, I have to tell you, I don't know if you've heard the beginning. So I started the podcast, and we might have to go a little shorter. I apologize. Oh, we'll still have about 20 minutes. But okay. So, you know, when the podcast is an hour, and we put in this little flash drive, and we put it on pause and record, and then today's producer, Liz, I say, okay, we're going to get started, and 3, 2, 1, and we get started. But it's my job to hit the play button.
Uh-oh, I see where this is going.
So I give this hilarious and informative little segment on my new favorite Glade air freshener scent. I mean, where else are you gonna find this? It's Cashmere Woods, by the way.
Oh, is that
No, are you serious?
Wait.
Before you start, I did not tell Emily this at all.
No, I do not know about this. But no joke, 2 days ago, I stood in Target in the Glade aisle.
Right,
for
it's
like
Glade.
10 minutes staring at them, trying to figure out how they smell. And the Cashmere Woods is that.
Yes.
That one was the one I was like, I think it smells good, but will I get tired of it? I don't know.
Well, that's what I did.
I can't even believe we're talking about this.
Well, that's what I did. I bought one can because I gave it a quick smell in the store, and I'm like, I'm just going to buy one, to your point, exactly. I'm like, I don't want to get too invested. I don't want to buy 7 cans right. And then be stuck with 7 cans, so I'll just buy one. And I fell in love with Cashmere Woods so much that my next return visit, I bought 7 cans of Cashmere Woods.
Oh, wow.
Yes, try.
You know what? That I see, now this is making me feel bad because in the end, I didn't go with the Cashmere.
Oh, well, go back then. The next time, get Cashmere Woods.
I went with Clean Linen.
Well, that's what I get. I can't believe it. That's the other one I get. Is that the light blue one?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one I get. I can't believe it. It's exactly the same one. Folks, we have not rehearsed this.
This is not prearranged.
No. Oh, how funny. Yeah.
Is that sound?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I have Clean Linen is my go-to smell. And I said that. Clean Linen is my go-to smell. But when I went to the store, they were all out of Clean Linen. And so I was in a quandary because I do like to have a steady supply of air freshener. So I saw Cashmere Woods, and I realized Cashmere Woods is not Tiger Woods' girl cousin. This is my cousin Cashmere.
Cashmere.
Yeah. But I said I have to get a new scent, and I don't take that lightly because your scent is a reflection of you.
But look, I don't take it lightly either. That's why I spent 10 minutes staring at it. I don't even have 10 minutes to spend on stuff like that. And yet I still...
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, the next time you go, you've got to get Cashmere Woods. Yes, believe me.
I know. I have to try it out.
You know what? I'm so Cashmere Woods crazy that I don't know how you know, I'm so like air freshener,
Are you going to be stuffing people's stockings this year?
But my point is, so like, you know, I don't know how aware you are of other Glade scented products, but there is this cool thing that is kind of like a little globe that you break open and you open up halfway and it's like this gelatin that smells.
That's what I got.
Oh, I'm talking about the can. I'm getting the cashmere woods.
Oh, you get the can. Yeah, no, I bought one of those things that you just like push the top thing up, right?
Yeah, and right. Then, like, yeah, yeah. With, that's, with that jelly stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, I've got that too. I've got the cans. I've got seven cans, and four of those.
Okay. First of all, let me just say though that this is my first foray into Glade, and it's mainly because we have a diaper genie in our house, and sometimes but they don't make those as well as they used to. I'm starting to worry though. Why do you need so many cans of
Glade? Oh, me?
Like, does one man need that much air?
Well, no. I just like, as I said, I like to have a nice smelling home, and I do when people come over. I do want them to walk in and go, ooh, what's that?
Ooh, is that cashmere woods?
Is that cashmere woods? And I would say, yes, it is. Yeah, no, I do like to have, I do like, as I said, I like to burn candles. And I don't mind the light of them, but I do like a nice aroma candle. And we'll blow, and I will burn a candle all day for 15, 16 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I have three things. You know, paper towels, toilet paper, and air freshener. Cans.
Wow.
As I said, you know, before, I've got the scent ring for my tree. So between my cashmere woods and my pine scent ring, you know, around Christmas time, I'm afraid that there's going to be wildlife in my house. Just sitting on the couch.
You're going to wake up and Bambi's going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, yes, cashmere woods. At least try the can. Go get the can, too. Try the can.
Maybe I'll put it on my Christmas
list. No, there's no maybes. Just go get – it costs a buck. What the hell is a buck? Just spend a friggin' buck on cashmere woods.
Why did I stand there?
I know.
In our debate for 10 minutes.
Oh, I did the same thing because there was some other – there was other ones. I don't really like citrus. I don't like orange. And there was this apple cinnamon. I love apple cinnamon, but that was a little too strong, even though that's my favorite. Little combination. But cashmere woods.
That's the problem sometimes, depending on the scent. Sometimes they can be way too strong.
No, I'm telling everybody, cashmere woods. Yeah. There's a hint of vanilla, which is amazing. Anyway, let's get to the pop culture, the important stuff here.
Right.
But that's so funny that we both, and then it's so funny that your go-to scent is clean linen.
Well, it is. I mean, I'm trying it out. We'll see.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to get overly political on the podcast all the time, but I have to say that right now there, you know, pop culture and politics are basically one and the same. I mean, it is the story of the year. I mean, in theory, I mean, not even in theory, in reality, even though, I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, that's not what he's known for specifically, but let's face it. Donald Trump is our first reality star president.
Yeah.
I mean, not just a real estate businessman, but, you know, I mean, some people thought it would be, you know, somebody from The Voice would be our first president, or someone from Survivor, or one of the housewives from Atlanta. But instead, it was...
I would maybe go New Jersey with the housewives, but okay.
Yeah, The Apprentice, but it was actually The Apprentice. But anyway, so here's what I wanted to ask you, because I'm finding a lot of different... opinions on this from people in the pop culture world as well as the political world. So I thought this would be a great topic for us to discuss. So a couple weeks ago, Vice President-elect Pence goes to a performance of Hamilton. And when the show is over, the show is done, the performance is completed, the whole cast is still on the stage, and one of the lead actors, I think who portrayed Thomas Jefferson, starts to give a pointed kind of rant, lecture, whatever you want to. Oh, was it Aaron Burr? I'm sorry. He gives a very pointed kind of rant, diatribe, whatever you want to call it, to Mike Pence, who's in the audience. And a lot of people are wondering out loud, was that appropriate? Was he ambushed? Was what he said appropriate? Was the venue in which he said appropriate? And so I have seen, Chris Jones from the Chicago Tribune was saying, hey, they almost had an obligation to do it, that they had to have done it because they were there and he was there and this is a political show and the cast is diverse and all this stuff. So where do you fall on this? Because I will tell you, well, I fall on it, but I was wondering, where do you fall on not, I'm just basically not the content. I'm not talking about the content of what he said, but on the appropriateness of the venue of where he said it and how he said it. Where do you come down on that?
Okay. Okay. Well, a couple of things. And I know you don't want to talk about the content, but I will say that.
No, I don't want to talk about the content. I want to talk about the venue.
I'm just going to say, though, that I read the transcript of what was said, and I didn't think it was offensive at all. And Mike Pence didn't said that he didn't either. But do I think that the venue was appropriate? I think that given the content of the play, I'm totally fine with it. I don't see why people have a problem with it. I mean, this is a musical about the life of Alexander Hamilton, one of our nation's founding fathers. And, you know, you have a vice president-elect in the audience. And, you know, I don't have an issue with this. I mean, I think that Mike Pence, he's a public official. He has been for some time. Donald Trump is about to take public office. You know, I think these guys need to get used to, you know, being addressed in all kinds of different forms. You know, I don't think there was anything inappropriate about this. And I also think especially because what they said was not really offensive, I thought that they addressed him in a respectful way. So I don't have an issue with it. And I read an interesting New York Times article which talked about the history of the theater and the fact that way back, like, you know, centuries ago, the theater used to be more interactive. It was actually more like that. You know, they expected the audience to, it was kind of more of like a sporting event versus now where, like, if you so much as, like, you know, open up your Skittles, people get upset, you know. So,
well, here's,
I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I'll tell you, here's my, I do have a problem with it in that.
I could tell.
Well, here's the thing. And look, I'm an actor. I've been on, I'm on stage, and I'm not saying
that's
that
right,
the,
you are.
I'm not saying that the theater is such a sacred place that you can't do that. But I do believe that, you know, I, as an audience member, I agree with everything the actor said. Once again, I'm not talking about the content, but
right.
I paid $200 or $300 to see a performance. I didn't pay $200 or $300 to hear an actor's political opinion, whether I agree with that opinion or not, whether I think that opinion is right, and whether I do think that the vice president elect should hear it. I don't think that this guy came in there expecting to be lectured, and I think he has the right, if he's going to a play, to not have to do that. If you wanted to go see him on the street and do that afterward, I'm sure that the actors are like, hey, look, we've got this amazing opportunity. He's going to be in the audience, so we have to do this. I'm sure that's what they were thinking. But I just don't think it's right that the whole audience was having to be a part of that. Just because the actors.
Yeah, but I don't agree because this was done like at the very end. Pence was on his way out. Okay. These guys, so they had finished the play. So if they, I would agree with you if they had stopped in the middle of the show. But I think they did it at the end. They did it when people were finished. And if I know you, I understand, like, yeah, you, of course you wouldn't want your experience to be ruined by something that, like, let's say it disrupted the whole experience. But if you had been there on the night that they did this, and now it's all over the news, if I know you, you would be like, and I was there.
No, see, no. See, that's the thing. No.
Because this has now become part of the pop culture.
Exactly. But see, that's the problem. See, that's the problem with it. I think it was done partly because of social media and partly because that they knew that people would be recording it and it would become viral and they would look like they were heroes of the protest anti-Trump movement. And once again, I don't mind anybody protesting that, but I do think there's a time and a place. And here's my view on that is, what if I lived in New York, for instance, right, where this took place on Broadway, and I am inundated. Yeah. Now, it is ground zero. New York is ground zero for Trump. He's at Trump Tower.
Yeah.
That's where he's headquartered. The main protests are there. The press is camped out outside of his place. If I live in New York, Trump. That's all I'm getting. Maybe for 2 hours, I could get a little safe haven from all this Trump crap and go out with my daughter and just watch a play and be lost in it for the same reason I see a movie. It's escapism. I want to get away from the cacophony of all of the protests and all of the opinions, and I just want to go and enjoy this play. And then when the play's over, this guy stands up and decides, if I'm at a fundraiser or I'm at a political rally, hey, that's more than appropriate. But I just think that I was there to see art. I was not there to hear. So now is Emily there or not?
I'm here.
Okay, there you're there, right?
Oh, hey,
okay.
Hey, okay. I'm here. Yeah, I couldn't tell if you were talking to me. I'm like, that's not coming from
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I think we've had a little technical problem there.
Another technical
I know, today
problem.
Has been...
doing air quotes.
I know. But I don't know. Were you able to hear what I said? No?
I didn't know.
Okay. Well, no. They did. I don't want to keep repeating. This whole show, I'm just okay. Repeating everything. But just take for granted that what I said is true. So here's my example that I didn't say. This one's new.
Yeah.
So you'll hear this as well as the audience. So tell me then if this is appropriate. All right. Let's say okay. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool atheist. Okay.
Yeah.
I am an atheist to the core, and I believe that anyone who believes in God is ignorant, is a fool, is wasting their lives, is just superstitious, and mm-hmm. is just the most pitiful person on earth, right?
Right.
Would it mm-hmm. be appropriate for me to go to a Sunday Mass, and when the Mass was over, run up to the altar and say just what I said to those people?
I don't think your analogy works.
Why?
Well, because for starters, I just think that I don't think any of it is compares to the Pence situation. I mean, you know, like I said, Mike Pence is a public official, and he was just elected to the second highest position in our government, and he showed up at a show that is about American politics.
So if he went to see,
and it's about one of our founding fathers.
Okay, wait. So, if he went to see Cats and Old Deuteronomy. Yeah,
I think if he had gone to see Cats or Cabaret or any other show, I can't really see the cast doing that. And I honestly think that this cast felt empowered to do so because it's topical. I think it is. In terms of the contents of the play, it's relevant.
I understand that, but I get all that. But
I would think that would be really strange.
So if Old Deuteronomy came out and said, "I think you," or like if you went to the Phantom of the Opera and all of a sudden at the end of the show the Phantom comes out and starts and takes his mask off and starts yelling at Mike Pence, is that right?
No, that's not.
So right. Only
but
Hamilton
I don't think
that can
do that. That's what happened here. I think, like I said, I think that it is relevant to the content of the play. I think that the.
But so when I bought a ticket for $300, did I buy a ticket to see Hamilton or did I buy a ticket to see Hamilton and the political views of the cast?
Hamilton, Hamilton Plus.
No, I didn't. No.
First of all, you didn't pay $300 for your ticket. You probably paid, if it's Broadway, you probably paid about $2,000 for
your
ticket.
Okay, so that's even worse.
I would never have a problem with it.
I don't want to see Aaron. I don't want to see Aaron Burr rise from the dead and tell Mike Pence or anyone else or me, because I'm in the audience, so I have to hear this too, because the other point of yours is, they said, well, you know, Mike Pence could have left. I mean, you've been to New York.
No, he did leave. He was leaving. It was the show. It was the end of the show.
I understand when it happened. But you ever try to get out of a Broadway theater fast?
Yes.
It's impossible.
It doesn't work.
It's impossible. There's no room between the chairs.
It does if you're surrounded by Secret
yeah.
Service agents.
Well, I just think that I have no problem with the content. I have no problem with the protest. I have a problem with the venue I think we're getting to a point now where I think, to your point about social media earlier, is actually a valid point in that we have become now so accustomed to just give our opinion any place, anywhere, without
right,
any thought about anyone else. And I mean, we're
right,
getting...
But Jim, who does that remind you of? Does that remind you of anybody?
No.
I mean, what? Donald Trump himself spends more time on Twitter than, like, you know, my 28-year-old...
Well, I'm not saying he's right either, but I'm just saying is that I think we need to put the brakes on because we're just becoming there's no decorum anymore. Anybody
well,
and now,
that's true.
And everybody just thinks that they can make their own. I have a right to talk. Everybody, yes, you have a right to talk. But you know, but there is a law. You cannot yell fire in a theater. That's against the law.
No, but that's not what happened here.
Well, but my point is, you can't just do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it because you think it's right. And that, I believe that was their motivation. Hey, we've got the vice president here, and you know we're all actors, and the whole idea of Hamilton is this diverse, multicultural cast.
Right.
So they are representing the exact people of which have the big problem with Donald Trump. I get all the symbolism. I understand the whole thing, but I didn't pay to hear that. If you want to go out on the street, outside of the venue, as a cast on the street and say that to the audience and everybody walking by, that's fine. But inside that theater, I still think there's something of, I came here to pay for the performance. I didn't come to hear. Now, once again, I could even be something of a hypocrite in that, hey, I go to concerts by a lot of artists who are very politically involved. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they make statements from the stage, Bruce Springsteen, among others, you know. So I understand that, but and I accept that from them in ways.
Let me ask you a question. I'll give you a better, maybe a more equal comparison.
All right, Kashmir Woods would be the answer.
So let's say you're at Elton John.
No, he's Elton John. I'm Elton Jim.
157, okay?
Let's well, it's 165, but we'll go.
165, okay. Let's say you're at, wait, 165 was the last one?
Yeah, so we'll say I'm at 166.
Let's say you're at show 166, okay?
All right.
And Mike Pence is in the audience, and Elton gets up at the end of the show, just before he's about to take his bow, and he respectfully addresses Mike Pence. Because let's face it, Mike Pence is against everything that Elton John says.
Elton just had there were some rumors that he might play the inauguration. He said, no way am I playing his inauguration.
Oh, there is no, I can't, yeah, no. I couldn't even.
I you know, to be honest with you, I wouldn't boo, but I would say, Elton, you're wrong. I would.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, no. I do not put anybody that, Elton or Bruce Springsteen or any artists that I respect, I don't put them on pedestals at all. I will call them for what they are if I think they're out of bounds. I've said it about Bruce Springsteen. I've said it about Elton many times. I've said that about, you know, Woody Allen. I love Woody Allen's movies. I don't necessarily like what he's done in his private life, but I still laugh at Manhattan, still laugh at Annie Hall. I still appreciate his movies. You know, I mean, hey, I don't know. I love Leonardo da Vinci, but I've heard stories. I don't know what he's been doing. I don't know what Leonardo was doing with young boys in the 1600s. But I'm still going to go see the Mona Lisa.
Now you're going deep.
Saying is that, you know, I think there's art, and then there is the personal side, and you can and at times should. I think you could still appreciate an artist, and not necessarily appreciate his personal choices in his or her personal choices in life. And in this case, I do think that there is a difference or there should be a demarcation between art and political views. That's all. Even if the play is political, because as I said, I don't want to see old Deuteronomy or the Phantom talking about.
But see, I kind of would like to know what Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr think about.
Well, they're dead.
But
so you can't.
Yes, that's right. But I think we have to agree to disagree on this. But I will say, I do not think, and yes, with social media and stuff goes viral and there's a clip online. I haven't watched the clip, but I have read the transcript of the statement. But, you know, I do not think that this would have become nearly as big a story had Trump not tweeted about it. And I think that the call to apologize to Mike Pence, you know, saying that the
all that other stuff surrounding it, I don't agree with at all. I'm just saying is I appreciate the unrest. I appreciate the protest. I appreciate what people are feeling and thinking. And I appreciate the fact that they want to say it. And there is an opportunity to say it to one of the people that are involved in it. I get all of that. But I just don't think that there's sometimes when, you know what, you have to err then on respect as opposed to not. And I think that was a little disrespectful. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so now the next time you're treading the boards, is that what you, Peter,
yes.
say?
Yes.
Okay, so the next time you're treading the boards, if I show up for your performance, at the end, I don't have to worry that you're going to stop and single me out and say,
no.
I love you,
but
I hate everything you stand for.
That is my favorite phrase.
I know.
I've told that to my godson many times.
I know. You can tell it to me, too. It comes into handy quite a bit for you.
Isn't that a great phrase? I love that phrase, if I do say so myself. Anyway.
It works. I like it. Yeah.
Well, once again, I love talking to you, Emily. And I love the fact that you and I have the same sense in our noses.
I know.
We are both clean.
Next time I'm changing the diaper, Jeannie, I will think of you.
That's a nice thought. Clean linen and cashmere woods. And Emily Armonetti, thank you so much. We'll talk to
thank
you soon.
You.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jim.
Cashmere woods. Buy it. Well, we had a good time. It was an interesting show. It was all over the place, all over the map, just like I like it. I hope you enjoyed it, too. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Every Monday, a new episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Thanks for clicking on. This is the only podcast that goes from the end of the web to your screen.